This is the Janet Murray Show, episode
293. You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about whether you should use scarcity in your marketing. And I'm going to be drawing on my recent experience of running a 3-day sale on tickets for my upcoming live event, Content Live. So I'm going to be sharing with you how that campaign worked and also how it fits into our longer term campaign for the event tickets and showing you how we use scarcity in our marketing and why it works. So first off, I ought to just give you a bit of background about the live event. So I run 2 live events per year. I'm going to be changing things up a little bit next year, but at the moment I run Media Influence Live in the summer. That's the event where I get you in a room with journalists and influencers from big publications, from TV, from radio, but also from content marketing as well. And that's my event that I run in July. And in November, it's my content planning masterclass. So Content Live is where I get you in a room for a couple of days so that you can plan out your content for the coming year. So this year, day one is all about inspiration. So it's all about meeting some of the UK's most talented content creators and learning from them about what makes really great, really engaging content and how they manage to be so consistent and how they manage to put that content out, get lots of people to engage with it and build their audience by that content. So I've got some great speakers this year. I've got Emily Quinton from Make Light. She's going to be talking about building your influence on Instagram. I've also got Bookish Bronte. She's also going to be talking about Instagram. I've got Dan Knowlton. He's going to be talking about building your influence through video content. I've also got Amanda Webb. She's going to be talking about how to attract traffic to your blog. I'm going to be talking about podcasting. Got Andrew and Pete there, really, really talented content creators. So lots of inspiration, lots of ideas, and lots of opportunities to sit down and talk to people who are really, really talented content creators about how you can make your content more engaging, how you can be more consistent, and all the things that you find challenging with your content. Day 2 is all about the implementation. So we're going to start off the day this year with a session from Osman Sharif. And he's going to be talking about how you can actually do your content planning in a way that really works for your personality. So when I first started teaching people about content planning, I used to kind of just teach everybody how I do it. And I soon realized that we're all different. We've all got different personalities. And actually, it's all about playing to your strengths. So he's going to be showing you how to do your content planning in a way that really works for you. So this event is a really, really important event. It ties in with a product that I sell. So you may be aware, if you've been listening to the show for a while, that I bring out a diary every year. It's called my Media Diary. And it's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. So for your blog or vlog, if you have one, for your email marketing, for any press coverage that you might want to get, for social media. And that is a big part of what I do every year. And the event ties in really nicely. If you get your ticket early, you get your diary as part of the ticket price, and the two kind of go hand in hand. So we recently ran this 3-day sale on tickets in August. Now the event's in November. It's November 15th and 16th in London, and we'll put a link in the show notes if you'd like to come along. And what we just ran was phase 2 of our ticket sales. So phase 1, we put the tickets on sale actually in July at my last live event, Media Influence Live. And the reason that we do that is because the best time to get people to sign up for a live event is usually when they're at an event and they're having a great time. So we usually set ourselves a target to sell 25% of our tickets on the day of the event or just after, and we offer people a really good deal, and we give them scarcity. So we say, if you book your ticket in the next 24 hours, 48 hours, then you'll get it at this really great price, and you won't be able to get that price in the future. So that was phase 1, and we hit our targets there. But with event sales, it's really tough, especially when you're selling other products and services, because you can't be marketing every product and service all the time. So sometimes you have to turn the volume up on one, and then you have to turn it back down again and turn it back up. So we'd kind of turned the volume down on the marketing for Content Live. In fact, we even shut the ticket sales off. So we did phase 1 and then we shut the ticket sales down. And people were actually emailing me saying, oh, I've heard about your live event, but the tickets aren't open at the moment. How do I get a ticket? Which is always a great position to be in. So phase 2, I kind of thought to myself, I'm going to be having a membership relaunch. I'm certainly going to be opening up my membership to new people. I've just had the membership site completely redesigned. It's so much better. It's really user-friendly. It's really exciting. Just relaunched the whole thing. So I'm going to be doing a big membership launch in September. So I can't really be going big on my event in September, because otherwise, if you give people too many call to actions, if you're trying to get people to buy too many products and services, they end up, it's just too much choice. They end up doing nothing. So I thought, okay, well, the best thing to do is to run an event, a very short event in August. People often think August isn't a great time to do launches, but actually not everybody's on holiday. Some people are about, so, you know, I think it's a kind of myth that you don't do things in August. Actually, it can be quite a good time. But what I thought was, I don't want to exhaust myself having to do this over weeks and weeks and weeks. So how about we just do a 3-day event and we do something that we haven't done before. We basically say, we'll offer you, if you book your ticket in the next 72 hours, we'll offer you the same rate as our alumni. So we offer a special rate for people who've been to the event before, and we'll extend that to you, but only if you book in the next 72 hours. So actually encouraging people to make a decision, to make a decision quickly. We didn't just kind of pull this out of the bag. We did warn people that it was coming up. We said when it was going to be, but we said it would only be 72 hours. But of course, you do need to create a little bit of buzz. And, you know, yes, you can do an email campaign. You can just email people around that time. But actually, if you really want to get people buzzing about your event, doing something like a webinar can work really well. And this is something that's worked really well for me in the past. So we decided that we would center this 72-hour event around a webinar. And of course, if you want to get the best conversion from your webinar, the subject of your webinar, it's like an opt-in or a lead magnet. It needs to really link to the thing that you're selling. So if I want to invite people along to a webinar, and my ultimate aim is I want to get some of those people, all of them in an ideal world, but I want to get some of those people to sign up for my event and come along to my live event, then I need to make sure that the content of my webinar is really, really closely aligned to the actual event. So it just feels like a kind of like, okay, I really enjoyed that webinar. That was a really good experience. I learned a lot from that. What would I learn if I actually went to this event? Wow. You know, that's kind of what I want to create. So I decided to do a content planning webinar that would lead really, really nicely into the event, would attract the right kind of people, the kind of people. Basically, I'm running a content planning event. So that event, like anything in your business, is to solve people's problems. And the problem that it's solving is people struggle to come up with ideas for content. They struggle to organize themselves. They struggle to plan ahead. They struggle to actually get people to engage with their content. So I thought, well, if I run a webinar that tackles those issues, it will attract the right kind of people. It will attract the kind of people who are going to want to come along to my event. And it will also give them value. So they'll get a good experience. They'll learn something on the webinar. And hopefully what they'll feel is, okay, if it was that good being on the free webinar with Janet, what's it going to be like if I actually go to this event? So how I tend to structure my webinars is, I've learned from experience because I've done so many over the years, is that I tend to, you know, teach, I give away my best content, share a lot of case studies, a lot of examples with people. And then partway through the webinar, I'll stop and talk about the event. I used to do it at the end, but I found that people do sort of drop off. Like, so people, they've got places to go, they've got things to do. So if you're going to do your sell, I've learned it's better to actually kind of pause in the middle. So I just want to tell you a little bit about something that's related to this webinar that you might be interested in. And what I also did during the middle of this webinar, we thought to ourselves, okay, what you really want from a webinar is you don't want people to kind of be sitting on the fence. You want people to be able to make a decision. So what could we offer people that would be really compelling so they'd actually make a decision while they were on the webinar? So you always get people on a webinar asking you questions, saying, oh, that sounds interesting. Where is it? How much does it cost? Will it be useful for me if I'm this sort of person? Will it be useful if I'm in that kind of situation? But what you want people to do is to actually make a decision, because if they're making a decision and they're buying, then other people will do so too. So we thought, what would be really, really attractive to people and actually make them want to book their ticket while they're on the webinar? So basically what we said was, look, if you like the sound of this event, I always have a dinner the night before the event. I stay up in London, and the speakers that have already arrived, I take them out for dinner. And I basically said, the first three people who buy their ticket from this webinar, you can come to dinner too. I can't guarantee every speaker will be there because people are coming from different places and different times, but you can certainly have dinner with me. You can certainly have dinner with whatever speakers are about, and obviously you'll get that exclusive access. We sold those tickets while we were on the webinar. So we set it up so that an email went out during the webinar. We sold those tickets and we hit our target. So our first target was to sell 25% of our tickets in phase one. So that was just after the event. Our second target was to sell another 25% of tickets. And I'm pleased to say that we've done that as well. And then we'll go for our next 25%. Well, actually, we've got a good goal, and then we've got a stretch goal. So actually, in terms of our good goal, we're actually kind of 2/3 of the way there. But for our kind of stretch goal, it will be 50%. So we're kind of, you know, way on target. In terms of revenue, we brought in around £8,000 worth of revenue during that three-day sale. And the scarcity, so the fact that it was only open for 72 hours, what it did was it encouraged people to make a decision. Most of the people who came to the webinar already knew about the event. So what the webinar did and what the offer did, it actually encouraged them to make a decision. Without that webinar, without the 72-hour offer, then they may still be sitting there thinking, oh, that sounds good. I wonder if I'll go. And of course, the closer that you get to the event, the more expensive things like hotels get and travel gets. So, you know, we really want to encourage people to book their ticket early and commit early. And I'll talk more about why that's important in a second. So that's just a little overview of how we ran the campaign and why we ran it. So the reason I'm recording this episode and the reason I've just shared that with you is because I know that some of you don't like the idea of scarcity marketing and you think it's scammy and silly. But what I want to do with you is actually show you that scarcity marketing isn't scammy and silly. It's actually serving your audience. It's actually offering them the best possible level of service that you can offer them. And I'm going to share with you why I believe that to be true. Okay, so first off, we all procrastinate, myself included. So when it comes to an event, I will see an event, I think, oh, that sounds really good. I might want to go to that. But I will just sit on it and sit on it and sit on it. And I'll always have something better to do than to book that ticket. So when you use scarcity in your marketing, you actually encourage people to make a decision. You give them a deadline. Now, it might well be that that decision is not to come to your event. But actually, that's fine by me because I want to have people at my event who will really want to be there. They're really invested in the experience because they're the kind of people who are going to go away and rave about the event and they're going to sell the event to other people or they're going to sell my events to other people. What I don't want is people who've kind of half-heartedly booked their ticket. So I'd much rather somebody decides actually it's not for them this year and maybe they'll come another time, but at least they've made a decision. That's good for them. And it's good for me because then I can focus my efforts on people who really are invested in learning about their content planning and people are going to get a great experience at the event. So it stops procrastination. And that's not just good for you, but it's also good for them. We all feel better when we've made a decision about something, even if it's a decision not to do something, we all feel better. Okay, so my second reason why scarcity marketing is good and it's good for your clients and it's serving your clients is we need people to make a decision. So when it comes to events, I'm sure you know this, but there are huge costs involved in running events. So people sometimes ask me about the ticket price for things like Content Live. Why is it so expensive? It's not expensive at all, but you know, it might feel expensive to them. But when you consider how much it costs to hire a venue, how much it costs to give 100 people lunch and a good lunch, how much it costs to give people tea and coffee throughout the day, how much it costs to pay the staff to work at the event, how much it costs to do the marketing, how much it might cost in things like Facebook advertising or design, or we make a beautiful workbook that has a picture of every delegate in it and all their social media handles. All of that takes time and that has to be paid for. So actually what we need to know early on is we need to know that the event is viable. And if you've done events, you'll know this too. What you don't want to do is pay up front. You have to put a deposit on a venue and you may even have to put a deposit on some of the catering and food and some of the other costs that are involved. You might have to, if you're hiring photographers or videographers, they might want a deposit, for example. So you need to know that your event is viable and you need to know it early on. So I put it like this to somebody, if I was not to use scarcity marketing, so if I was not to actually kind of encourage people to make a decision at certain points, then there's a chance that not only might the event not run and I lose loads of money, and nobody wants that at all, do they? But also my staff, my contractors, my video people, my photographers, my staff who work for me regularly, they're going to lose out as well because they're not going to get paid as a result of it. So everybody loses out big time. But also the delegates are going to lose out. So, you know, there's people who want this event. There's people who really, really want to take a couple of days out to plan out their content for 2019. And that's going to have a big impact on their business. It's going to have a huge return on investment for their business. If I don't get out there and sell these tickets and make this event happen, then those people are going to lose out on that opportunity to come to a really great event, which solves their problems and helps them out in their business and delivers real return on investment for their business. So I feel like I've got a responsibility to the people who have already booked and already committed to get out there and sell the rest of the tickets to make sure this event goes ahead. And so, yes, there's a consideration. I don't want to lose loads of money. I don't want to lose my staff to lose out on their fees for working with me at the event. I want to be able to pay them, you know, what they're worth to work at my event. But also, I don't want the delegates to lose out. You know, if I think this is a great event, it's a great opportunity. But if I don't pull my finger out and get those tickets sold, then I might have to cancel the event. And nobody wants that, do they? And thirdly, when you get people to make a decision, and you get them to make a decision early, then you can give them the best possible experience. I'm sure you all know what it's like when things are rushed. That's when mistakes tend to happen. So one of the things that we do at our event, for example, is we have a beautiful workbook. So one thing I hate at events is when you go and you get a load of papers and you go home with your handbag with a load of kind of chewed up bits of paper. So we have a beautiful work, book, we have a picture of every delegate in there. We have all their social media handles. So it's not just some notes from the event. It's actually a resource that people can go back to. There's space for notes. It's a really beautiful piece of content. It's also got all the contact details of everybody that's in there. So I know for a fact that Media Influence Live in the summer, that quite a few delegates have made sales from each other and found clients. And obviously, you know, having that workbook with pictures and contact details is instrumental in that. So for Media Influence Live, we have to have a cutoff date. If we're gonna make those workbooks, you know, we have to have a cutoff date where it's all designed and it goes to the printers. And we had one person this time who booked their ticket very, very last minute, because we do make a couple of last minute tickets available. And they missed out on getting their picture and their details in the program. And they were really disappointed about this, because they could see that that was a really valuable resource. They could see that people being able to follow up with them afterwards, maybe about working with them or maybe collaborating them in some way. And they were really disappointed about that. But obviously, we have to have a, you know, if we want to make that a good quality publication and we want the printer to be able to turn it around in time, we can't wait for them. We have to just go ahead and get that done. Even things like catering, I mean, at events, sometimes people will have dietary requirements. And again, if they come in last minute and they ask for a special meal, or they ask for gluten-free, or they ask for vegan or something like that, if it's last minute, that's when there is the potential of mistakes happening. And so the further ahead you can have your event sold out, you can have all the tickets sold, then you can just focus on giving people a really, really great experience. And I'm sure it's true of anything, whatever it is that you make or sell, whether it's products, whether it's services, when you've got plenty of time to fulfill that order or to fulfill what that client wants and needs, then there's less chance that there's going to be mistakes or things that go wrong. So three compelling reasons, I hope, why scarcity marketing isn't just a scam. It's actually a way that you can serve your clients much better. So number one, it stops them from procrastinating, and that's good for them as well as you. Number two, you need people to make a decision so that your whatever program you're running or event or product you're selling, so it actually goes ahead. If you don't get people to give you their say so early, then you may have to cancel, or you may need to completely just scrap something, and that's not good for the people who actually want it. And finally, the further ahead you're planning, the less room there is for mistakes, and that people are not going to get a great experience from you. And just to give you one other example, I run mastermind groups as well as my membership. We have groups of six people in each mastermind group, and we can't run those groups without placing a deadline. So we say, if you want to be involved, if you want to be in the group, you must have paid your deposit by this date. Because once you've paid your deposit, we can go out to everybody in the group and we can agree dates for our group calls that are suitable for everybody, and everybody's happy, everybody can make it. If you miss that date, then I'm afraid we can't include you, because then it inconveniences everybody else in the group, and also inconveniences you, because maybe your diary won't work with that as well. So remember that it's not about, as long as it's genuine, as long as you're not just kind of, you know, as long as you're not lying just to sell tickets or lying to make sales, then you're not only making your life easier, but you're making everybody else's life easier and helping them to have a better experience with you as well. So I hope that sharing that case study with you has helped you maybe reframe any ideas that you've got around scarcity marketing. Please don't ever feel that you're being scammy or selly. As long as it's genuine, when you put a deadline on something and you don't waver, and that's important too as well, people always come back to me after the deadline for a ticket sale or a membership sale or whatever, and they'll always say, oh, I just missed it. Oh, I'm so sorry, you know, my dog was sick or my kids were sick or this happened or whatever. And I always say no to them, because it's just not fair on those people who got in before the deadline. So as long as you're acting with integrity, as long as it is a genuine scarcity offer and you are being strict about that, then I think people respect you for it, and it allows you to give your clients or customers a much better experience. So as ever, I'd love to hear from you on this. How have you used scarcity marketing in your own business? Has it given you any ideas for how you might use it in your business? Has it given you, you know, renewed hope that maybe you can actually get your events sold, or that you can sell more of your products by using this in your marketing? I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with me on Twitter or Instagram or wherever else you hang out online. If you use the hashtag scarcity marketing, then I'll know that you've listened to this episode. So I'm on Twitter over at @Jan_Murray, Instagram JanMurrayUK, and Facebook JanetMurrayUK. Thanks for listening to the show. And if you like the idea of Content Live, it's happening in London on November the 15th and 16th. And I'll certainly put a link to that in the show notes. The super early bird tickets end on September the 7th, so that's 2018 if you're listening in the future. So that will be just a few days from when this episode goes live. So if you don't want to miss out on your super early bird tickets, then make sure that you go to the show notes and get the link and book your tickets now. Did you see what I just did there?
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.